Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You are now listening to the Playbook Podcast with myself, host Kyle Stout, and the other host,
Garrett Burkle.
So on this podcast, as you guys might have heard already, we've already posted one of our episodes from live radio, but this will be more of a podcast form, so it'll be maybe easier to listen for some people. Everything's going to be posted on Spotify. You can look up Indies Giant 90.9, and then the episodes that we are on will be the playbook. Have a little caption, talk about what we're going to talk about. You can tune in if you want, but I hope everyone's having an amazing day that's listening. And today is Friday, so Thursday Night Football. There's a stellar matchup last night between the Los Angeles Chargers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs were at home. The Chiefs ended up winning this game 27-24. What are your thoughts on the game?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch because I forgot it was on Amazon Prime.
I don't like that. I think I like it when it's just on, you know, TV, because you shouldn't force people to get Amazon Prime just to watch a football game.
You're exactly right.
But yeah,
I did watch it, or I did watch the highlights of it, so it was good. It was also good to see my Purdue boy, Xander Horvath, who went to Purdue from, I think, 2018 to 2021, I believe. Yeah, because last year would have been his draft year. But anyway, he was good at Purdue. He was never great, but he was always pretty good. And to see him get this playing time in the pros is pretty awesome, because he's a good kid.
It's really cool to see guys like that, because, you know, you said, was he a seventh-round pick?
He was a seventh-round pick,
and that's just awesome, because this is his second touchdown already this year. It's really cool to see, you know, the smaller guys like that, you know, get their play time, prove what they can do. Because seventh-round picks a lot of times don't get the chance to prove that. Like you see on the Colts, you see seventh-round pick Michael Strahan, and he's a big body. He's like 6'5", 6'6", and he got a little bit of play time, and he showed out, balled out against the Texans. Hopefully he can get play time more this year.
Yep.
But it's really cool to see those guys thrive in the NFL.
Yeah.
But back to the Chiefs-Chargers game, I was really impressed with Justin Herbert. What about you?
I was too. The only negative, really, of the game was that pick six.
That was what killed them, I think. And it's kind of – I don't think you should blame it all on Herbert there.
No,
he was trying to go inside. Well, it was misread by both sides. Great play by the Chiefs rookie cornerback. It's just Herbert thought he could fit it inside to the receiver. Unfortunately not, and that's what resulted in a pick six for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So, but other than that, Herbert looked like a top five quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And he will be a top five. I mean, you could argue that he is a top five right now.
It's really tough to rank these NFL quarterbacks. Yeah. It really is.
So, like I said with Herbert, saying maybe he's a top five quarterback. Garrett, what are your top five quarterbacks right now if you had to rank them?
So, my top five quarterbacks, honestly, if I do my list kind of based on how they perform their entire career, not on who's the best, so number one, I have Tom Brady. Really can't argue that. Obviously, he's not the most skilled quarterback in the league anymore. But I would say he's the best just because of, you know, what he's done just all time. You know, the GOAT, greatest of all time. Number two, I have Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm not a huge Rodgers fan. I'll be the first and last person to tell you that. I think I've just never been a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. But I do have him at number two on the list because, again, he is, you know, one of the most accomplished quarterbacks in the league. Number three, probably the most talented quarterback in the league, I got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Again, he's awesome. I do think if – I would have told you a couple of years ago he'd be the greatest of all time by the time he's done with his career. I just don't know if the Chiefs haven't really built awesome teams around
It's
him.
Just – I mean, they've obviously had the Super Bowl team, and that's cool. But they paid their players, like, too much. And I think the contract they gave Patrick Mahomes is kind of what's going to kill them. And, obviously, he deserves that contract. Do not get me wrong there. But, like, you know, you have to let go. You had to let go of Tyreek Hill. And then who else do you have? But the thing with that is I think they're going to be fine because Patrick Mahomes can create opportunities for his receivers. You know, they signed Juju Smith-Schuster. He could be solid as a wide receiver one.
Right,
healthy. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll be fine there. But, yeah, I agree with you. They haven't really built, I guess, the teams that you really could make that could be very, very good with Mahomes.
You're exactly right there.
Yeah.
And then at number four, again, like on my list is kind of based on overall, all time, how they are. But number four, I have Russell Wilson. I'm not adding a lot of the younger guys in just because they're not as accomplished. So guys like Herbert, even Lamar, guys like those did not make my top five just because I kind of do it differently than anyone other. Because if we were going on talent, Herbert's probably one or two. Honestly, him or Mahomes.
Him or Mahomes. What? Maybe Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah, Josh Allen as well. But number four, I have Russell Wilson. I've always thought Russ is, I don't want to say overrated, but in a sense, I think he's always been, I feel like he's a lot better. He can be a lot better than what he actually is.
Especially now on the Broncos. He's got a way better situation than he has had in the last few years with the Seahawks. He has an O-line. I think, in my opinion, he has better receivers.
You know, I see what you're saying, but I kind of disagree in a sense because just how look at their division there.
Their division is so tough. And the Broncos, like, I would not be surprised if they don't make the playoffs this year, in all honesty.
And if we're talking about talent-wise, I honestly think, well, I'm not going to say it, because Derek Carr and Russell Wilson, to me, probably have the same amount of talent.
Yeah.
I'd probably say Russell Wilson has a little bit more, but it's just, you know, you know the quarterbacks in that division is crazy. And then at number five, I have Matthew Stafford. Again, I like to base it off of rings and what they've done over their career.
Yeah. So I have Matt Stafford. Coming off Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Very tough first game for him, though. So I think people would disagree with you there. But obviously, I respect it. Lists are subjective. So you don't know what people go off rankings. And for my top five rankings, I kind of have a different opinion than you do. I do more off, like, what skill they are right now.
Right, right. Which is how most people do it.
Yeah. But, so I'm not going to put Tom Brady at one because I don't think he's the most skilled quarterback right now. At number one, I'm going to put Patrick Mahomes. He's definitely, I think he's the most skilled quarterback as of today. Every game in, game out, you see him creating opportunities for wide receivers. In this Chiefs-Chargers game that happened yesterday, you saw him create many opportunities for his receivers. That you might not have heard of before this game. I mean, I got to check some statistics, but like he created a touchdown for Justin Watson. You know, he hit Mecole Hardman a lot. Obviously, Travis Kelce is going to get you yards. But what I was really kind of disappointed, though, was Juju Smith-Schuster, his play there. I didn't really think he was a key factor.
What were his stats?
Three receptions for 10 yards, and that's got to be better for Juju. Juju's better than that, but I think as the season goes on, chemistry will get better between the two, and he'll end up fine. Excuse me. And then at number two, I'm going to put Josh Allen based off skill right now and how I think the NFL is as of today. And that might be disrespectful to, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, but I really think that Josh Allen is the second best quarterback today. At number three, I'm going to put Aaron Rodgers. I think as of right now, he's more skilled than Tom Brady. And I'm not in no way, like I just said, I'm not disrespecting Tom Brady. It's just how they are playing now. Tom Brady's, what, 45 years old?
Yeah, something like that.
And he's still great. And
he might be
46,
actually.
He's still the greatest of all time. He did, undoubtedly. There's no debate there. But I'm going to put Rodgers at three. At four, I'm going to put Tom Brady. That's where I'll put Tom Brady. Even though he might not be as skilled as who I'm going to put at five, he's got the greatness. He's, like I say, he's 45 or 46 years old, still throwing the ball incredibly efficiently. And the Buccaneers, I think, are my Super Bowl favorites. And Tom Brady's going to lead the way. If he wins another ring, he's maybe the greatest athlete of all time. I mean, that'd be eight rings.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
See, that argument's hard because I've had it before. Because if you talk about...
There's so many athletes.
If you
talk
about quote-unquote athletes, obviously he's not the most skilled athlete of all time.
Maybe the greatest athlete of all time is where you could put him because of his greatness.
Exactly.
But at number five, I'm going to put Justin Herbert. I love what I saw of him last year. I loved what I saw of him last night, other than that pick six, which is really just miscommunication. He's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time when it's all said and done. The Chargers are doing a great job building around him. They're building up a solid defense to help him, and they're building up their receivers, their offensive line with, like, Rashawn Slater. And they have Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, great receivers to throw the ball to. By the way, Mike Williams did crazy last night. If you went against Mike Williams in fantasy, I feel very sorry for you. That was me in, like, three of my leagues. Mike Williams put up like 26.5 fantasy points in PPR, which is pretty crazy. It's solid. It's not, I wouldn't say crazy, but it's solid. So yeah, those are my top five quarterbacks, and that could change throughout the season. You know, we see guys that move up that have breakout years that you won't even expect whatsoever.
Right. Like, I think this year, I think guys like, you know, maybe Trey Lance.
I think with Trey Lance, he didn't play good against the Bears. No one's saying he played good, but I think people are overreacting a bit to his play. He needs more time.
Right.
I mean, he really just needs more time, and I think by week 4 or 5, he'll pick it up, and I think the 49ers are going to be Super Bowl contenders as the season goes on. I think they have an amazing team around them if Trey Lance can develop well, which I think he will. I think he will develop well, and I hope he does. I hope he develops well. I hope he learns that offense with Kyle Shanahan, and I think him and Debo could be a very good duo for the future. They're both very young. I'm excited for the Niners' future there with Trey Lance.
Yeah, another guy, you know, I look at as, you know, kind of breakout candidate is Tua.
Tua?
And I'm not the biggest Tua fan in the world. I don't think he's great, so to say. But I do think he could break out.
Yeah, I could see that.
He has enough weapons around him.
He has Waddle, right. He has Hill, Gesicki. Mm-hmm. He has a great offense around him, good O-line. Mm-hmm. They're set up to definitely make a wild card, is what I'll say. They'll definitely make a wild card. They're not going to beat the Bills for the division, I don't think, anytime soon, which is just unfortunate for them.
Any what?
Anytime soon.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Bills are going to be Super Bowl contenders for a long time. Their contracts are very good, unlike the Chiefs, and they have weapons everywhere on the football field.
No, that's true.
The only bad contract I think they have is Von Miller. And Von Miller's a good player, but the contract they gave him was massive. Mm-hmm. And I think by year 6, which is what they gave him, a 6-year contract, he's not going to be that great.
I get what you're saying.
Defense players regress a lot faster than offensive players.
I forgot he was playing for the...
Yeah, because he played for the Rams last year, mm-hmm. won a Super Bowl. So that's good for him.
Yeah.
We're going to transition to college football a little bit. We just talked about the NFL. But now for college, which is, everybody's excited for college. Everybody loves college football. It's one of my favorites, one of my favorite sports to watch out there.
Oh, I have a quote before we go. Yeah. Football or college football, college basketball.
That's tough because I'm a Kentucky fan. So obviously maybe people will be like, oh, you're biased towards college basketball. But I'm going to say I like college football more. And overall, I think it's more exciting. Don't get me wrong. I love both. They're both, if I had like all the sports I watch, including professional sports, college sports are at the top of the list.
I totally agree.
But it's really cool for me to see, you know, being a Kentucky fan, seeing Mark Stoops really elevate this Kentucky football program. And it's been way more exciting to watch than it has in past years. Kentucky basketball still, I love watching college basketball. I love Kentucky basketball. I always will. But as of right now, I think college football, it's really exciting for me to watch.
Right.
But the question I had for college football is, if you had to lock in 4 teams to make the CFP this year, who are they going to be? And that's a tough question because many upsets are happening.
You didn't give me any heads up or anything.
Yeah, and I don't. It's tough.
If we're doing it right now, on what's today's date?
Friday, September 16th.
16th. And that's Friday, September 16th.
There's still so much more football to be played. 2 weeks have been played, so you can't really go wrong here.
One, I'll put Georgia at one.
Yeah.
I think Georgia. I think they're going to make the college football playoff come when it's time? No.
You don't think they'll make it?
I don't think so. So, yeah, I'm not too high on Georgia. I think their quarterback play isn't great. I think they have a good overall team, but I think come SEC time, I think they're, I don't want to say they're in for a rude awakening, but I think they'll drop a couple games.
Honestly, I kind of agree with that. I think Georgia might, I think they'll still make the college football playoff, but maybe not as a one seed. They played amazing against Oregon, but I don't think Oregon's very good. Obviously, they played a small school next. You're going to beat them. I believe they played Sanford. Samford? I don't know. I don't know what it's called. But I think that they're going to drop a couple games in the SEC play, like you said. Maybe only one. I could see them losing a game to, you know, a Tennessee, a Kentucky, team like that. Because they're going on the road. I know they're going on the road against Kentucky. That will be a tough game for them. And I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. I don't think they're going to win the national championship. But you never know. It's Georgia football. They lost a lot, but, you know, they also get a lot of recruits. So Georgia, I think, will still be up there. And they could win it all. You don't know. It's only week two.
Exactly. Two, kind of a surprising one, most people would say. I have Michigan.
Michigan? I can see that.
And why I have Michigan is I have seen Ohio State play week one, watched week one game. Week two did not catch it, but I think they won like 36-10 or something like that. I was I saw the final score, I was like, really? Like they only, you know, they were at home. I get their best receiver is out. He's hurt. I don't know when he returns. But what I've seen from Michigan is that they haven't played anyone. At least Ohio State played Notre Dame, who is, I guess, somewhat respectable but what I've seen from Michigan, I mean, they're just blowing teams out of the water. And they have J.J. McCarthy's quarterback, and he's looked phenomenal so far.
Yeah, exactly.
So I see Michigan. I'm like, okay, they can really win the Big Ten title again this year, just depending on how things go. I don't know if Ohio State will. I'm sure for Ohio State will start clicking at some point. But I feel like it's already clicked for Michigan. And of September 16th, right now, I have the Michigan Wolverines as my number two team in the college football playoff.
Yep, I respect that a lot.
Number three, Alabama. I'm not very high on Alabama. I do think they'll go undefeated in the regular season.
I think they just had a down game against Texas, and even with the down game, their red zone defense was phenomenal. Bryce Young was phenomenal. It's just they're not playing good football right now.
You're exactly right.
But I think they will pick it up. It's a Nick Saban-led team. They're going to make it.
That's true.
I know
that's
they'll make it.
Not too high on Alabama.
I don't think many people other than Alabama fans are too high on them right now.
I do believe Alabama also is a I think they're going to drop. I don't think they'll. I think they'll drop the SEC title game right now. I think they'll drop the SEC title game and the college football playoff game.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could see them.
I think they'll go undefeated in the regular season, though. And that usually happens. They do usually go undefeated in the regular season.
Right, right. Four? I really don't know, so I don't want to put three SEC teams in.
Yeah. But it's tough because it could be.
Exactly. You just really don't know, right? As of right now, I have no clue who's going to be where. And I'm going to say Clemson.
Clemson?
I'm just going to put Clemson there.
It's
I have
tough
not
to
seen,
rank them. I have no idea if they're going to be good.
I've not seen them play. I think their schedule's pretty light.
Yeah.
So to say. And I think the thing I was thinking of is if you have even an Oklahoma versus, or if you have an Oklahoma and Clemson trying to get in at the same time, both of their schedules aren't hard. So I don't know who you would put over who. But right now, I'm going to say Clemson just because of they're historically pretty good.
Yeah, and Dabo Sweeney could get him there, even if DJ, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name. If DJ isn't playing amazing, they still have Dabo Sweeney, who's a great coach. And it's still Clemson football.
Exactly. Like
they had one down year, and a down year for them is 9-3, which is an up year for a lot of programs. So
you're exactly right.
I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I do. I just don't know. I think if they matched up against, hypothetically, they matched up against Georgia, was my number one team, I don't think it would end well for Clemson.
And then I'll go into my top four CFP teams as of right now, as of week two in college football. Number one, I'm going to go Georgia. I think Georgia is still elite. Like I said, they could drop some games. You know, they have a tough schedule, and they lost a lot of players, especially in their secondary and on their defensive line, losing Trayvon Walker. But it's still Georgia. They look dominant against Oregon. They've looked dominant all season. They won the national title last year, so you gotta put them in there. You got to give them the respect they deserve, I think. At number two, I'm going to put Alabama. I think Alabama will be a little bit better than Michigan, who I'll put at three. Alabama's Alabama. Their Nick Saban team, their red zone defense is amazing. Their defense is always really good. They barely squeaked out a win against Texas, which, Texas is good, honestly, this year. I think Texas is a very good program now. I think their program's finally getting back to, you know, the Texas level that a lot of people will call it. And then at number three, I'm going to put Michigan, like I just said. In Michigan, J.J. McCarthy is playing really well. They just got players all around the board. They have a decently easy schedule it's Big Ten football, so it's going to be hard. But, you know, I think they can beat a team like Ohio State.
Yeah,
and I think they're allowed to drop a game like Ohio State and still make it. I think they can lose at Ohio State.
They have a couple. I mean,
but I'm not too high on Ohio State right now, honestly.
I'm not either, and I'm sure they'll click at some point during the season, yeah, like I said. But I just think if we're doing right now, I'd put Michigan over.
Right now, I'd put Michigan over Ohio State, and also Michigan has Michigan State at home this year. I think they'll win that, and I'm not.
They have to go to Columbus though, which is
tough. They have to go. Then, that's why I think they might lose that, but they're allowed to lose that. They have two big games on their schedule. The Big Ten's not as strong as it has been in past years, in my opinion.
I can't remember if they're at Happy Valley or no. They're at home against Penn State.
At Penn State, yeah, and they'll be Penn State either way. Right. It'll just be. It's always tough playing at Penn State though. That crowd is insane, one of the most electric crowds in college football. So, but anyways, at number four, I'm going to agree with you. I'm gonna have to. It's tough. I don't know if I want to play Clemson or Ohio State, and I think just for the sole fact that I don't think two Big Ten teams will make it, I'm going to put Clemson, and that could really come back to bite me because I'm not as high on Clemson this year, and I'm not high on a lot of these teams. I don't see a lot of these teams as, you know, they're a lot better than the other team. Like, right. I don't see a lot of separation this year. And, you know, you have these sleeper teams, these teams that nobody's talking about that could sneak in. Obviously, Ohio State could get in.
Oh, for sure.
And they'll be up in that conversation. They always are. I think Oklahoma could be up there. I don't think USC will be up there. They're ranked number 7 right now. I don't see them keeping that up, honestly.
You know, I think their schedule, I don't know, you could be right. I think their schedule isn't too difficult for them to keep
but,
it up.
You know,
but I still wouldn't have them.
Yeah, I wouldn't have them right up there. But obviously you have you have Ohio State and Oklahoma. Those are two teams that are going to be up there. And then if I had to pick two teams right now that are, you know, going to be just wild predictions that could sneak in, cause chaos, you know, get in the top 6 at least, I'm going to go with Kentucky and BYU. BYU is playing excellent football right now.
Yeah,
they just came off a win against number 9 Baylor. Now,
don't they have another tough game next week?
They play at Oregon.
So if they win that,
that conversation's got to be something because they're playing great football this year, and I could see them, you know, causing some chaos up there. Yeah, at number 25.
Oh, then no, they have Notre Dame at home too. I saw.
Yeah, they have Notre Dame, and then so I don't. Mean, but
that's a schedule that if you win some of those games,
if you go undefeated, you might get in.
I think I don't know how.
And
you
a lot
win.
Of people don't think, you know, a team like BYU is going to get in, but
if
you
Cincinnati
never know.
Could get in with
if Cincinnati
last year,
could get in with their worst schedule,
right?
Than what BYU has, you know, and then Kentucky. I think Kentucky, if they ever have hopes to make the college football playoff. With it only being 4 teams, without it being, you know, the 12 team that they're talking about scheduled for 2026, this is the year.
Right, I agree.
For them. And I'm not saying they're going to make it. I'm saying this is the year that they can make it if everything goes perfectly. And, you know, with Kentucky football, it's going to be tough because they don't have the same level of recruits as guys or as teams like Georgia and Alabama in the SEC. And it's just going to be tough. But there's the way their schedule shapes out, they play Georgia at home week 11 or week 10. It's their second to last game.
Okay.
And that could be really important. They play them at home. Their other two ranked games, at Ole Miss, at Tennessee, both very winnable games.
Right.
You see, Kentucky could go 11-1 and make it, or go 12-0 and 12-1, lose the SEC championship and make it. But we'll see. It's only week 2, like I said. That's a bold prediction. If I had to choose two teams to make the college football playoff that no one's talking about, it'd be Kentucky and BYU. And I feel
that's fair. Yeah,
that's
definitely fair.
So we were just talking about college football there. What are CFP teams, what are sleeper teams look like in week 2 going into week 3 Saturday? But now we're going to transition to something more important about college football, the future of it, NIL. Name, image, and likeness for players. Players are allowed to profit off their name for the first time in NCAA history. It was like a year or two ago. I think a year ago started in all sports. But I think there's a controversy on it. A lot of people have different views of it. Obviously, you want players to be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. But do you want them to make that much in college? Like, I feel like NIL is kind of controlling the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Players are just going to teams that are going to make them money instead of going to teams that will maybe, you know, help their future, help their game transform to the NFL. And I think NIL is also making it so that there's going to be super conferences, I think, in football soon. Right. And I don't know how I feel about that, because if they're in football, they're in basketball. Mm-hmm. And if you have super conferences in basketball, what's going to happen to March Madness?
Right. If you want 100% my honest take on it, and this is personal, there's a point guard by the name of Nigel Pack in the transfer portal from Kansas State. Basically, Kansas State's former coach, who unfortunately cut ties with the program at the end of last season, is mutual. He didn't get fired, but it was mutual parting. Anyway, his name was Bruce Weber. He was a Purdue assistant for a long time under Gene Katie. Anyway, he averaged, I think it was like 17 points a game. He was first team All Big 12 in basketball, the number one guy in the transfer portal. He's just a baller, and it looked like he took a couple official visits, Ohio State, Purdue, and I believe Miami, and it looked like Purdue was the front runner, and that's what it looked like, and it was pretty much Purdue was the front runner, Miami was, you know, kind of a distant second than Ohio State. Anyway, Miami offered, I think it was $80,000 or $800,000. It was some ridiculous number, plus a car for him to go down to Miami and play basketball. And obviously, I'm a Purdue fan, so I wasn't too happy about it. But if you look, it's just no. And I'm not, you know, does Nigel Pack have pro? Does he have a chance to play in the pros? I don't know. But just how much money he got paid is just, it's just amazing. And I get it, you know. He went to Lawrence North, so I don't know, in Indianapolis. So I don't know, you know, how he grew up, what his family was, life was like. But just that much money for a college kid to play somewhere where he probably didn't even want to go to.
And the NIL, is kind of justifying paying players, which I don't like. You know, there's schools that are just using NIL as a excuse to just straight up pay players to come to their program. That's what it's kind of turning into. It's turning into teams like Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12, coming to the SEC in 2025 because of money. It's not about football or basketball. It's not about sports anymore. It's about money. And that's why I don't think the NCAA is going to be around for much longer. I think it's going to be like more just super conferences. It's not just going to be like, I think they're going to change, you know, ownership and all that.
You know, I want to sit here and argue with you because NCAA has been around forever. I can't.
It's tough. I want it to stay. I really do. I don't like the idea of super conferences. And maybe my opinion will change come the time that that happens. Because, you know, there's going to be changes everywhere and everything. You can't just keep the same thing over and over again. But as of right now, I don't like the idea of it. What I do like the idea of it is there are some players who benefit a lot of it. You know, I know this just because I'm a Kentucky fan, but Oscar Tshiebwe really benefited a ton from it. He's from the Dominican Republic, didn't grow up wealthy whatsoever, grew up very poor, moves to the United States. He's always wanted to play Kentucky, but he's not adopted, but like his home family in the United States, like he stayed with a family. They both went to West Virginia, so him himself, he kind of felt a little pressured to go to West Virginia. Freshman, sophomore year at West Virginia, he didn't play well. He didn't fit in. So he transfers to Kentucky's junior year, wins National Player of the Year. He's a projected second-round pick, which is kind of crazy for National Player of the Year. But that's just how today's NBA is.
It's because his body doesn't really translate.
You know, he decides to stay at Kentucky because of the positive impacts of NIL. You know, he doesn't – because of – he wasn't allowed to have a work permit because of stuff. He used to live in the Dominican Republic. He comes over just to play college basketball.
Didn't some donor from the Dominican throw him a whole bunch of money to stay in Kentucky? It was over a million dollars, wasn't it?
He's had a lot of NIL opportunities where he's a college kid who's a millionaire. He's a great player. He wanted to stay at Kentucky, and the NIL allowed him to stay at Kentucky. It allowed him to make money when he doesn't have a worker's permit because of the government and because of complications around there. And that's what I think positively the NIL does for college sports. You know, you have a game that although it's just a video game, everybody loves NCAA football. That's coming back because of the NIL.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's positives and negatives to everything, but, like, which one outweighs the other? Right. That's the problem that people get to.
And my one thing, which just I also look at as, like, that's really silly, is you can have your NIL deals and whatnot, but, like, you know, like, the kids that, you know, only get 10-15 minutes off the bench, they're not getting anything either.
And they're, yeah, it's just like,
it's so silly, like, to me.
The people, the starters, they're just getting paid to play, and it's not as much about, you know, it's not just college, it's not the next step before the pros. Obviously, it can benefit people, but when it benefits some people, it kind of negatively impacts other people.
You're exactly right.
And they don't get the same opportunities. That's where I think it also comes into play there. One thing just I personally as a fan like about it is, you know, you can, I know now Fanatics is collaborating with college football, and you can get players jerseys, last names, like you can get actual
that's cool.
jerseys. And that's really cool, because I mean, I know as a Kentucky football fan, I've been looking for my jersey's getting a bit small. I've been looking for a jersey for so long. I mean, in Kentucky, it's hard to find.
Right.
And now I can, you know, get one when they go in Fanatics. That's cool as a fan. That's cool that the players, you know, if I get a Will Levis jersey, Will Levis is going to profit off that. And that's really cool that a college kid who a couple years ago was a backup quarterback at Penn State is now making a lot of money for NIL. It's just, it's kind of tough because it goes both ways. I'm excited to see what the NIL does for the future, but I don't like what it's doing in college football because the players are just transferring like crazy.
No, and that's,
it's become free agency, honestly.
Exactly, and that's why I, when the transfer portal concept hit and Jalen Hurts went from Bama to Oklahoma, I was like, okay, we have a real problem here. The transfer rules, which it still should be, is you have to sit out 1 year as of transfer into the program.
And they, that's like not even
you can go wherever you want.
Thing.
Okay, so the Purdue receiver, really good one, Charlie Jones, transferred from Iowa to Purdue. Now, I love that he did that, but he transferred in July. In July.
And
the first game was September 1st.
Yeah,
it was, and he's early July. Playing. He's been there 2 months, if even that, getting to know the playbook and whatnot. I think that as much as I like Charlie Jones, as much as I like that he's playing for Purdue, because if he wasn't, Purdue would not be as good as they are. I love that he's playing for Purdue, but just seeing that you can go in that late to a program and go to play for them, that just, it makes me mad. And it was also NIL related.
Exactly.
As well.
And that also ties to players just going to programs for money. You know, you have Quinn Ewers, an amazing quarterback on Texas.
He got paid $1 million to go there.
And he was just at Ohio State last year.
Right.
And he didn't stay there. He didn't, you know, sit behind C.J. Stroud and eventually start there. He goes to Texas, and obviously he starts there right now. Unfortunately, he's hurt.
Right.
But they also have Arch Manning lined up to go there. And what's going to happen when Arch Manning goes there, who's this generational talent at quarterback, and you already have Quinn Ewers, one of them is probably going to transfer. And I don't like that. I don't like that players are, you know, just going somewhere, transferring after 1 year.
Right.
I don't, and then they can
totally
play the next year.
I totally agree with you.
That's what I really just don't like at all about the NIL. You know, Caleb Williams goes from Oklahoma last year to USC, gets
which,
a deal.
Here's the deal with that. I am totally fine with him going.
I'm fine with him leaving
because his coach left.
Lincoln Riley.
And I think that's the one thing that the original, if they were going to redo the original transfer thing, I'd still have players sit out a year unless their coach left their program or got fired. Or a family reason. Those are the only few reasons I could see.
There's also kind of something that plays into there because, like, Caleb Williams got a massive deal by Beats. Beats headphones.
Beats headphones.
Yeah. I don't know if it's called Beats by Dre anymore because I'm pretty sure someone that he sold, it's like, I don't know. That's a different story. But he just got a massive deal to go to USC. And that's, I mean, yeah, his coach goes there, but money definitely played a factor.
No, I know. But I'm just saying from the aspect of transferring, I understood it. And, like, again, to bring up Charlie Jones again, Purdue really didn't have an NIL thing lined up until Drew Brees paid for the NIL program. But anyway, he really didn't have an NIL lined up, and you can see how it's working for him now.
Yeah.
He has more catches and yards than he did at Iowa last year. the entire season. So it's, and he'll, honestly, I can see him as a first three round NFL type pick guy, just because of he can play slot in the NFL. He's a bigger slot guy. He can definitely play at the next level. And it was smart for him to do that, because at Iowa, he wouldn't be getting, you know, many reps just because the offense they run at Iowa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, in some cases, totally understand it, but I'm not a huge fan of, it's more college basketball to me.
Yeah, I don't mind it in football, because I love seeing, like, super conferences for football would be really fun, in all honesty. No, seeing all these matchups.
Yeah,
because no one wants to watch the small schools play the big schools. That's different from college basketball. In March Madness, you want to see the small teams thrive. In college football, that's just simply not a reality for the small teams to beat the big schools as much.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess.
They do happen sometimes.
But I mean, look at last weekend. I mean, App State, Marshall, Georgia Southern.
Yeah, like super conferences could really positively impact college football, but I think that would negatively impact college basketball a lot. Because March Madness is something that is different than any sport, in that it might be one of the most beloved tournaments out there.
But I think in college basketball, I don't think you'll get any super conference, which I, don't get me wrong, I still am 100% against UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten. 100% against it. But I'm just saying, I don't think it will affect it as much in college basketball, because you still have you have an extra conference in there. You actually have the Power Six in college basketball with the Big East. So I don't think it will affect as much in college.
I hope not. I
college
hope it
basketball.
But I really like when, like, the smaller schools transfer, like Cincinnati. I'm happy for them. Like BYU, I like when those teams transfer conferences, because they're better than what their conferences are, and that gives them more opportunities. But I don't like when big schools are just transferring from a big Power 5 conference, Power 6 conference, or in basketball, just because they're making a little bit more money in the SEC or the Big Ten.
Right. I don't really know how to put it into words what my thoughts on it are, because I don't like the NIL. I don't like that kids are going to schools just to get paid. I don't like that at all. I don't love the transfer portal at all either, because I think you should have to sit out a year, unless your coach got fired, fired, went to another program, or a family issue. Those are the reasons I think you should transfer and be able to start the next season. But I also see the positives to it. But I would say at the end of the day, I don't like the project. I don't like super conference. That's where I was going. I don't like the super conferences. I'm honestly going to say that I hate UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten.
I don't like Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. I really don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to change much in the SEC, really. I think it'll make it more competitive, sure. Maybe in college basketball it'll make it more competitive, because the SEC isn't as strong in basketball as they are in football. Mm-hmm. Although they are getting pretty strong in basketball.
And another point people brought up once it was announced that, you know, kind of the, you know, USC, UCLA joining the Big Ten, is what's going to happen to, like, this, like in the SEC, what's going to happen to Vanderbilt? What's going
to
happen to
– what are going to happen to those teams that are
already in there?
You can
even put, like, Purdue, Minnesota, teams like that.
You could put Missouri, like,
right, like, where are they going to go?
Exactly. Are they just going to keep them in there? I mean, because Vanderbilt's not a good – athletic school. They're in the SEC because of their baseball program, but they still deserve to be in it. They've been in it. It's not like they've done anything to, you know, get kicked out and replaced.
You're exactly right.
That's why I don't like, because schools like that aren't going to have as much success if other schools are coming in, like you at Oklahoma, and just knocking. I don't know if they leave, but they would definitely get overshadowed. It's kind of tough. Well, I guess we'll see whenever, you know, it comes into play.
No, but, and I'm just not a fan of it at all. I think I don't really have words to describe how much I really do not like it, and I think it's just going to destroy college sports as we know it.
Our very first podcasting episode will be our second overall episode of the Playbook Podcast. You can tune into Spotify, Indy's Giant 90.9. You can look us up. You can follow us on our TikTok. The Playbook Pod, that's what it's called. Zero followers right now, but we'll be posting clips on there very soon. You can tell us how you feel about our podcast. Anyways, I hope everyone listening has a great day. And we are signing off from Ben Davis Studio.